When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on The Grave Talks, The Bellwitch Cave, a conversation with Candy Wooten. It's been called one of America's greatest ghost stories and one of the most haunted places in the U.S., the Bellwitch Cave. The Bellwitch Cave is believed to be the home of the infamous Bell Witch, who is said to have murdered a man 200 years ago and continues to haunt the cave and the surrounding area to this day. Tales of this spirit were so widespread in the early 1800s they caught the attention of a general and future president, Andrew Jackson. And today on this episode of The Grave Talks, a conversation with Candy Wooten, Director of Operations at the Bellwitch Cave. Candy, you have, and your family, has a very interesting connection to the Bellwitch Cave. Would you share with us?
Back in 92, my parents, they had always wanted a piece of property, like a farm, and they found the farm for sale, the Bellwitch Cave Farm, for sale in the Thrifty Nickel out of Nashville. And they went and looked at it, and the next year, in 1993, they purchased the Bellwitch Cave Farm, and they've been there ever since.
Did they know what they were buying, or did they just see it as a beautiful piece of property at the time?
Well, my dad was more interested in the property and the farm. My mom was more interested in the history of the story of the Bellwitch. They did know what they were buying. When they talked to the previous owner, he told them all about the cave and tours and, you know, different aspects of the farm and what to do, what not to do, and things that happen, and even people trying to sneak into the cave at night with trespassers, and how to wreck the rocks in the cave. And he filled them in on so much information before they bought the farm. So they were very well aware of what they were getting into.
So even with all that information, they still thought, it's a great idea. Let's go ahead and go for it.
Yes, yes. The farm is a beautiful piece of property that overlooks the Red River in Adams, and everything fell into place for them to be able to get the property.
So they bought that in 1993. Now let's go all the way back. What do you, obviously you've lived on the property, you're now director of operations of the Bellwitch Cave. Let's go all the way back. What is some of the earliest history of the Bellwitch Cave that you are aware of?
Just the cave itself?
Let's go to the hauntings of it. Like, where did that originate?
My parents' property borders up to what is still the Bell property. John Bell and his family moved to Robertson County in 1804, and they purchased 220 acres of land, which since has been divided in half, and my parents own half. The Bell family still owns the other half. They settled there, and for the first 13 years, things went really well for the Bells up until 1817. That's when the hauntings first started.
Now, they say, they talk of the Bell Witch. Obviously, it's a Bell Witch cave. Is there an actual person behind the Bell Witch?
In my personal opinion, no. There is a lot of people that still believe that Kate Batts, an estranged neighbor woman, was behind the hauntings, because the spirit said that she was Kate Batts' witch. So a lot of people believe that because Kate Batts was strange. But I personally don't think Kate Batts had anything to do with it. My mom later, got into the genealogy of the Bell family and found that Kate Batts was actually Lucy Bell's niece, which was the mother of the family. So they were related, but evidently there wasn't the best relationship between the Bells and the Batts.
The Bells and the Batts. kind of sounds like kind of issues right there, just being named the Bells and the Batts. So do you believe that the Bell Witch Cave is actually haunted? And
yes,
what do you believe is the story? Or do you have a theory?
As far as what the Bell Witch is?
Yes.
Or was? I do. I've bounced around several theories. But I have noticed that the more you dig into it, the more my opinion changes. when it comes to the spiritual world, I'm by no means a professor, but I have looked in and researched djinn spirits, obviously the Indian spirits. And with the genealogy, I have found that Lucy Bell was also descended from Indians. So that kind of added to that theory. I've heard a lot of really good opinions of what it is, but I just can't help but to think a very powerful spirit, very powerful entity.
And did you pick up on that right away when you moved onto the property?
Yes. It probably within the first week was my first experience.
Now, this goes way back, and there are, I don't know if it's called, you call it legends or what, but like, Andrew Jackson was quoted as saying, I had rather face the entire British army than spend another night with the Bell Witch, after he and his troops had spent the night at the Bell's farm. Like, when you have somebody that historical say that about the property you live on, obviously this has gone way back. Have you heard some early haunting stories about the cave?
Well, when the Bell family first moved there, like I said, it was 13 years. And when the noises started, it was little things like little knocking noises and tapping noises. But as time went on, the noises got stronger and stronger. They moved inside the house. And the whole family was sworn to secrecy. They didn't want anybody to know what they were dealing with. They disregarded a lot of it. They would get up and check to see if there was a cause of the noise, but there was never anything there. But then it escalated to the point where it was pulling covers off beds at night, and then jerking the covers off beds at night. And then it became physical. It started slapping, pinching, pulling hair. And it got to the point to where it could talk, to where it could be heard in every room of the house. And it was at that point where John Bell said that we need to tell somebody else. So he got his closest friend and nearest neighbor to come over to stay the night. And the noises kept them up all night long. And it was James Johnston that suggested to John Bell, like, tell more people. We need to figure out what this thing is so that we can help get rid of it. And then they started telling people, and people were coming from all over the world according to the books. It wasn't just a few people here and there. I know some of the movies on the Blair Witch kind of show a few people in the house at night, but according to the books, people were camped out on the Bell Lawn by the hundreds every single night.
Oh my goodness.
Just to witness this.
That's fascinating to me. Now, explain the property itself, because we're talking the Bell Witch Cave. So I assume there's a cave, an actual cave on the property, and then they built a house nearby?
Yes. On the 220 acres, there actually the house was already here when they moved here. That property came from a land grant from a man named William Crawford. Out of his 640-acre land grant, he sold 220 acres to John Bell. So the house was already there, but nothing happened. To me, that's one of the strange things. Nothing happened until 1817. You would have thought that if it was the house, it would have been all along, or if it was just the area. Which I do have some things that I wonder about of why it popped up when it did, but
please share your theories on it.
Well, I've often wondered, I know spirits, entities, ghosts, they need energy. In 1811 and 1812, we had just had the most powerful earthquakes to ever hit the continental United States. And then I'm not sure of the year, but we had the year without a summer, where a volcano had erupted and there was so much cloud cover from the ash that it snowed in the middle of summer here. I'm wondering if natural things like that did not produce the energy to bring this thing about. And when this thing began to talk, of course, you know, when this thing began to talk, the Bell family were asking it who it was and why it was here. She gave so many identities of herself, one of them being a spirit from the Indian grave whose grave was disturbed. And of course, one of the kids fessed up that they had dug into the Indian burial grounds there and was playing with a skull, and a tooth came out of the skull and went down through the crack of the floor in the dog trot of the cabin. So they dug up the floor looking for the tooth, and no tooth was there. Then she laughed at them and called them fools for believing it. I do think the Indian that were in this area played a heavy role in the hauntings, maybe then and even definitely now.
That's really interesting. And how do you think, now I can't remember her name all of a sudden, the woman who they kind of say is the person who haunts it, how do you think that legend came about? Do they just blame it on the woman because she was a witch? Or they said she was a witch, you know, and she really had nothing to do with it. Now I feel kind of bad about that.
Yeah. Kate Batts, the neighbor, which was Lucy's niece. There has been all kinds of rumors about that. I do know that there was. Now, this is what I can build from actual documentation. There was a dispute between Kate Batts's brother-in-law and John Bell, which later got him excommunicated from Red River Baptist Church. It was over a slave.
And that's bad to get excommunicated from your church, because especially at those times, you know, yes, everyone belonged to a church that was very, you know, it's just part of who you were. And so that would have been pretty bad.
Yes.
So you think that, so was she kind of like an easy target to blame everything on, and it just made a better legend?
Yes, she was in some of the books that talked about some of her eccentric behavior during a revival one time at church. They said she always came in late to church, but she was a very pious woman. But there was a man down on his hands and knees, praying and begging for forgiveness from God. And she came in with her skirts, and evidently she was a heavy woman. And she went down the aisle, raised up her skirts, and sat on him and started bouncing up and down, almost like riding him like a horse. And with the skirts over him and with the heavy weight bouncing up and down, he thought that he was being pulled into hell. Things like that that she done was very questionable. It's believed that her husband, I've heard that he was invalid, but I've also heard that the cause of him being an invalid was multiple sclerosis, believe it or not. That because he got to the point to where he physically couldn't take care of things, that she kind of took care of things. And back then, for a woman to handle decisions and business and finances, that was a no-no.
Oh, back then, absolutely. You know, because as a woman back then, well, number one, you couldn't walk into the church and do anything like that because then you're crazy. But to be too strong, you could be strong in certain ways, but you couldn't be taking over. Even though I think women back in those days are not credited for their enormous amount of strength. You know, it was all the man who was taking care of everything. And when you look at the conditions of women and childbirth, and they went through a lot. And they just didn't like a woman to speak up and take charge.
Women, something that I have found that women weren't allowed to own property. Reading through these old records, I have learned so much about the history of people then. Lucy Bell, after John Bell died, she had to buy a lot of her own belongings back at auction. Women were not put in census records. It was just the head of the household. That'd be the only reason a woman would be listed, is if she was the head of the household, if there was no man. Otherwise, her name was not even listed. Neither were the children.
So you kind of do have to wonder if Kate was just an easy victim for this legend. Like, she was kind of crazy, so it must be her.
Yes. And that's why everybody believed it, because when the spirit said, "I'm nothing more nor less than old Kate Batts's witch," everybody just believed it. And they started calling her Kate. And from 200 years ago, that name has stuck. People come up to the cave and they were here to see Kate, you know, like, so do you think Kate's in the cave? Where's Kate buried? You know, they ask a lot of questions about Kate Batts.
Are there any of the people buried on the property? And
yes.
Do you think there are more spirits there now?
More spirits on the farm now?
Yes. Like, you know, when they moved in, there was a very powerful spirit. That one's still there. Plus maybe some of the other family members over the, you know, because it has such an extended history there at the property.
Yes. When it comes to spirits, I guess you could say the possibilities of spirits being there. You had the Bell family, of course, the spirit of the Bell Witch. You also had the Trail of Tears go right through there. There is, which I'm still doing some research, but it's believed that part of the Trail of Tears could have possibly went straight through the farm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. I'm still trying to find some of the maps for that. Also, Civil War. There was a lot of battles that took place nearby, and Confederate camps that were right down the road.
You know, that's really interesting when you think about all that history that has happened on that land.
Yep. And of course, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but something that happened in the early 1900s that most people do not know about is the Black Patch Wars.
I am not familiar with that.
It's the tobacco wars. Okay. It was where they weren't getting hardly any money for their crops of tobacco. And then there was a system that started up that where you could make more. And there was so many deaths because of this, because I go to the play in Adams every year about this, and it kind of makes me think of like mobs, because they would dress up in and cover themselves, and they would go burn people's barns down. They would kill people because they wouldn't join the tobacco kind of like a foundation, the system, to be able to make more money. And it was horrible of everything that went on during the tobacco wars.
So you have to wonder if that's adding to it as well, because that, you know, there's a lot of tragedy that happened on that. And what did you say? 220 acres was the original farm?
Yes. John Bell's.
Yes, John. So, and then since then, that original 220 acres has been split up into two properties, or
two
properties then.
It is believed that John Bell later purchased another 100 acres. I haven't been able to pinpoint exactly where it's at, and I think I might have the deed for it, but he did purchase a little bit more land later. Now, that is one thing in some of the books mention that John Bell owned over 1,000 acres of land, but we have never been able to find 1,000 acres that he owned. However, if you do include it with his son, John Bell Jr., then it possibly could have been over 1,000 acres.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. 1,000 acres is a lot of land.
Yes.
Now, when you look back at the history, and I don't know how much of it obviously would be documented, but did you find that there was the hauntings kind of continued? Did you hear other tales from other families or other people who had been on the property, you know, towards the middle 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s? It sounds like, you know, the legend has always been there and people have been attracted to it.
Yes. And of course, you have people that don't believe that it ever happened. One thing that we have in our possession is a letter that was written in 1819, and which is just a copy of the letter, but it was a family traveling through the area. And when they got down to around Port Royal, it talks about that the river was flooded, but they could see Indians on the other side. They had to go down to another crossing and cross the river, and they stayed at the Bell Farm. It talks about that they witnessed this thing throwing furniture and screaming and talking and some of the things that it could do. And it said, it's no angel, it's a demon.
Oh, that's fascinating. And you have that letter?
Yes. Yes. We keep that one close.
That's fascinating.
It is on display for people to see when they come to the cave. So
now, when people come to the caves, I'm assuming that the cave, I'm trying to picture it in my brain. Is it one that you can walk into? Can you go into it? Do you crawl into it? Can you get into the cave? Or do you even suggest people go in there?
Well, I mean, we do tours during the summer. It goes back about 500 or so feet that we tour. It is not for anybody unstable. It's not handicap accessible. It is very, it can be kind of rough. It's like walking through a creek bed. There's a lot of uneven rocks and loose footing in there. It's a wet cave. So water runs through it year round. This time of year, it stays flooded a lot. So, I mean, anybody that has more of the adventurous spirit and that are physically capable of getting through there, go through the cave and see what you see.
And also, is it an original John Bell cabin when he owned the property that is on your property now?
No, John Bell's house was torn down around the mid-1800s. They said that it was getting too old and people were coming to see it, and they didn't want anybody to get hurt, so they had it torn down. Now, I did hear, my mom told me this here not too long ago, and I didn't know this, that one of the youngest members of the Bell family, Richard Williams Bell, which he's the one that wrote A Diary during the hauntings, but my mom said that she had heard when they were tearing the original Bell house down, he said he needed a break and went to sit down, and they went over there to get him, and he had had a heart attack and died in the process of tearing down the original Bell house.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
I know that's strange. But the original house was torn down in the mid-1800s. The house that we have there, my parents wanted a house that was exactly like the Bell house. So they had a professional in log cabins find a 1.5-story hand-hewed dog trot cabin. And they found this one. It was in Henderson County, Tennessee. And it had to be disassembled, moved to the farm, reassembled like a puzzle. And it was built during the same time period as the original Bell house.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm surprised they were even able to find that.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of a surprise, too, that they were able to find it. And of course, we're actually doing some work on the cabin this winter because it is old, and it's it was kind of getting into some bad shape. So we have had a lot of work done on
it. It's been around for a while.
Yeah, for this winter to help with it. And to me, it looks beautiful right now with the work we've done.
Now, you've talked about some documents that you have discovered over the years. Do you have a place on the property, like kind of a little museum that people can go in and see some of those things?
Yes. And I'm hoping to put even more in there. The back room of the cabin, like once the cabin tour is over, you go into a room that was on the back of the house, kind of like they call it then a summer kitchen, that we put all that information up on, where there's pictures, all the books that we could find written on the Bell Witch, and some artifacts from where the original house sat. We have a big kettle that was owned by the Bell family. And we also have either a foundation stone or a chimney stone from the original Bell house.
Well, this is so interesting, and we're going to continue this conversation with part two. And in part two, I'd really like to get into more of what you have personally experienced in your family, some hauntings, some different things. So that's going to be the next part of our conversation with Candy Wooten. And that will be on our next episode. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, and you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and get everything there all ad free. For all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes. Thanks for listening.